question that we priests get asked frequently enough is, how come sometimes it seems that God in the Old Testament seems dramatically different from God in the New Testament? I suppose in some ways today's liturgy would kind of be illustrative of the question. In the reading which we had from the Book of Kings, we can see Elijah promising in a way the wrath of God upon Ahab for his wickedness, saying that evil will be rained down upon him. And in today's gospel, we hear Jesus saying to love our enemies, which of course Jesus himself personified. And so today provides the perfect opportunity to really answer the heart of that question. In the first place, it is important to note the distinctive character between the Old Testament and the New Testament, both of which are the inspired Word of God, which make up the books of sacred scripture, all of which are to be treasured. But the Old Testament in and of itself is progressive in nature, which is to say, it is the understanding of the inspired author of God working in the lives of the people of Israel in their time. But it is not yet the perfection of revelation which comes in Jesus Christ, Jesus who is true God and true man, and therefore is the perfect revelation of the Father because Jesus himself is God. And therefore in the Old Testament, the revelation of who God is building in its understanding. It is preparatory in nature, all of which is going to be leading to the culmination of Jesus manifesting the fullness of exactly who God is and how he acts in our life. Today's first reading from the Book of Kings, we see the story of Ahab coming to a conclusion. King Ahab was one of the most treacherous kings in Israel, kind of spurred on in a bit by his wicked wife Jezebel, and together they rain terror and sin upon the nation of Israel. It starts with Ahab, that he is guilty of the sin of idolatry and of leading the people of Israel to idolatry by having them worship the false gods, Baal and Ahuraz. Then Ahab gets only worse from there as he goes on to commit murder on Naboth so that he can plunder and steal his vineyard. In other words, for Ahab, it is going from bad to worse. And he not only is bringing down himself, but he's also bringing down the nation of Israel. In fact, it's significant that the vineyard in sacred scripture is really an image of a bride and reminds us that Israel is covenanted to God in a spousal relationship, is meant to be faithful to God as with a bride. And so the symbolism is that Ahab, in stealing the vineyard from the innocent, upright man Naboth, he really is plundering the bride of God from the spousal covenant and leading it astray toward unfaithfulness. So what are the lessons or the divine pedagogy which is learned through the story of Ahab? Well, the primary lesson which is being taught to the people is, number one, sin is a complete and utter disaster in every respect. Ahab ruins his own life. He makes of himself an idolater. He makes of himself a murderer. He makes of himself a plunderer and a thief through his actions. And the consequences of his actions are felt upon the people who he is called to govern and serve. And so this is the first point. Sin is always a disaster. The second point is going to be that sin should be rooted out at all costs. And this is really part of the divine pedagogy which is being revealed in the story, and why it is said that Ahab, even to his descendants, will be rooted out of the lineage of Israel. Because really, the symbolism is the sin of Ahab and the treachery of sin must be rooted out from the story of Israel so that they can be faithful to their calling to be the bride of Yahweh. So this is the second lesson, that sin should be rooted out at all costs and expenses. The third lesson is that God acts to save his people. That all of his action is really meant, again, to restore Israel to being this faithful bride who is covenanted to God and who is destined for greatness and for glory. And therefore, God acts to reestablish them in that covenant. And the fourth lesson, or part of the divine pedagogy, which is revealed there, is really the mercy of God. that for Ahab, despite his treachery, despite his wickedness, God still manifests mercy toward him when Ahab repents and is sorrowful for his actions. So what is the incomplete part or the imperfect part? Well, what Jesus is going to show is that God, in acting against sin, God in moving to root out sin, he doesn't rain down terror directly himself on people, but he sends Jesus, who is the only begotten Son of God, who takes all of sin upon himself, nails it to the cross, and there brings about the work of our redemption and our salvation. And this is really the perfection then of how God acts to save his people, of how God acts to redeem his people, to manifest his mercy, and ultimately of how God acts even to love his enemies, that Jesus on the cross loves those even who are there to execute him and to persecute him. So I think today's liturgy then really provides for us an excellent example of how the Old Testament is this preparation for what is going to be fully revealed in Christ, and at the same time it is the inspired Word of God revealing a divine pedagogy, all of which will be culminated in Jesus. In today's Gospel, we hear Jesus say to love your enemies. In that task, we really kind of see the essence or the measure of what Christian love is called to be. As Jesus points out, anybody can love those people who are nice to us or those people who are friendly to us. That's not difficult to do. But the proper essence and measure of a Christian love is to be able to love even those who despise us or who do not care for us or like us. Lastly, I once heard a story of a little boy who was at Mass with his mother when this gospel was being read. And the little boy was seemingly not really paying that much attention. But when he heard the line in the gospel saying, love your enemies, the little boy kind of said out loud to his mother, he said, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. If you love them, they wouldn't be your enemies. And in that line, the little boy kind of really manifests in a way what we are striving to live in Christian love. That within our own hearts, there may be others out there who perceive us as enemies or who despise us, but in our own hearts, we look out only with the love of Jesus Christ. We look out only with his mercy, and we don't see before us people who are our enemies, but we see our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We see people who are called and destined for the love of God. And we see in them and also in us the great work which needs to take place to root out sin so that we can truly be free to love God with all our heart. Amen.